Blog Talk Radio.
This is Master Griot Radio, channel 13 on your NBBTA Internet Radio dial. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am your host for this moment in time. It's time for purpose-driven words, shaping thoughts, building minds, true wealth, communities, and legacies.
If my words had wings, they'd fly to you each day.
Thank you.
Welcome. This is Master Griot Radio, channel 13 on your NBBTA internet radio dial. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am your host for this moment in time. Today, we want to welcome you to One Book, One Philadelphia for the Love of Reading series. The Master Griot Project has joined with the Philadelphia Free Library, the Arts Garage, Black Women's Arts Festival, and Young Friends Society for the Free Library's One Book, One Philadelphia for 2009 celebration. And we are calling it For the Love of Reading. The Love of Reading series, What the Words Will Do, celebrates, discusses, and encourages reading through the featured One Book, One Philadelphia book for 2009, The Soloist by Stephen Lopez. So that is what we will be discussing here today. And even more exciting, we are giving away 50 free books. The first 50 callers and or people to come into the chat room, you win a free book today. So please, come get your book. We are discussing from Chapter 6. So if you have the latest copy, you don't have the hardback. If you have the paperback copy, Chapter 6 begins on page 50. And we're discussing Chapter 6 through Chapter 10 from The Soloist. And just for a little background, the One Book, One Philadelphia Selection Committee and One Book, One Philadelphia is a project of the Philadelphia Free Library. It's the Free Library of Philadelphia. It's our main library and our library system. Every year, for 3 months, the entire city of Philadelphia gets behind one book. And this is to encourage reading and literacy, and it supports authors. So this year, we're behind The Soloist. And the story follows Lopez, the author Steve Lopez. It follows Lopez, it's a true story, who's a columnist for the Los Angeles Times at the time, as he sees Nathaniel Ayers playing his heart out on a violin with two strings in Los Angeles Skid Row. Envisioning this violin man as the topic of his next column, Lopez befriends Ayers and uncovers an even more extraordinary story about a street musician who was once a promising Juilliard student. While Lopez initially set out to improve Ayers' circumstances, he finds that it is his own life that has changed for the better. One Book, One Philadelphia is a joint project of the Mayor's Office of Philadelphia and the Free Library of Philadelphia that promotes reading literacy, library use, and community building by motivating tens of thousands of people to read an annual featured selection, marking the seventh consecutive year for One Book. The 2009 program runs from January 14th through March 19, 2009. In addition to the feature selection for the third year in a row, One Book has named two thematically related companion books for children, teens, and family reading, Steve Seskin and Alan Shamblin's A Chance to Shine and The Double Life of Zoe Flynn by Janet Lee Carey. Hundreds of community partners have contributed resources and developed programming. Hundreds of community partners have contributed resources and developed programs to facilitate the success of One Book, One Philadelphia. And the Master Griot Project, along with the Arts Garage, Black Women Arts Festival, and Young Friends Society, we are part of those hundreds of community partners who have are contributing resources and have developed programs. I would like to send a great thank you and a special acknowledgement to the Master Griot artist, and that is Infinite Life featuring Zenora and I Will Write. They're doing a workshop called Fly Free. Now, Fly Free was performed first January 14th, and then it will be performed next on January 28th at the Free Library on Haverford Avenue. The Haverford Avenue branch, that's 5543 Haverford Avenue. The phone number is 215-685-1964. And that's at 4 p.m. Wednesday, the 28th. The workshop is called Fly Free, and you heard the featured song, Open Up the Show, Fly Free, and that's by Infinite Life, and it talks about, you know, the soul of the artist, just to get away through your art. So Master Griot Artist Lenore and I will write, explore the soul of the artist through an all-ages interactive workshop developed around the song Fly Free in Chapter 20 of The Soloist. So through simple exercises that explore music, African belly dancing, writing, and spoken word, participants will learn techniques to connect with art. Okay, so you have an opportunity to attend that workshop for free at the Free Library of Philadelphia. And then, again, it will occur in February. I think that's February 11th. And I am just verifying because there are a lot of workshops going on. Now, you can go into any library in Philadelphia and pick up a directory of all the programs. But Fly Free occurs again February 11th, 4 p.m., and this is at the Lucian E. Blackwell Library, the West Philadelphia Regional Library at 125 South 52nd Street. And that's 52nd and Sampson. So that's the next time it occurs. And then also, Black Women Arts Festival, they will be doing a music and meditation. So they're doing a series of workshops, and that is in March, February and March. So it's exciting. We have several people doing various workshops. And then this announcement, which we will make throughout, at the Arts Garage, located 1533-35 Ridge Avenue here in Philadelphia, the Master Griot Project, along with the partners, will all be hosting What Them Words Will Do. We'll be hosting What Them Words Will Do as part of the One Book, One Philadelphia event. So, please come out. What the Words Will Do is it's a open mic and a freestyle. It's an open mic and a freestyle. It's an open mic and a freestyle session going on. That I do apologize to the audience. It's a open mic and freestyle session going on, and you can just come based off of your inspirations from the book. You can do your poetry, song, music, whatever you feel. And we have a special section called, The Line Drop. So as you will see today, Steve Lopez has some wonderful lines, and you'll understand why they made this into a movie. He just has some wonderful lines in this book. So we're going to drop some lines, and then people get the opportunity to freestyle. So if you want a free-flowing poet, you can just freestyle like that. If you can just spit like that, we're going to drop the line, and then you spit relevant to the line drop. And that's going to be a wonderful takeoff there. First 50 people receive a free book with their admission. Admission is $5. Okay, this is the One Book, One Philadelphia show, and we are discussing What Them Words Will Do. We have a caller on the line from the 901 area code.
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
Hey,
how you doing,
how you
Queen?
Doing? Hey, how are you, Moon? Hey, this is cool. This is one of our Master Griot artists who's going to help us in some dramatic reading. I know, I don't know if you got a chance to get his book. So where are you, Moon?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, how you doing?
Hey, Amon?
No, this is Brother Jati from Memphis, okay. Tennessee.
Oh, hi. How are you, Brother JT?
I'm good, sister. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Okay, Brother JT, you know, just by calling in, you get a free copy of the book, The Soloist. So, all right. So you don't yet have your copy, right?
No, I don't, sister.
Okay, all righty. So, did you hear about the movie?
No, this is the first time I actually hear about The Soloist and this author, Steve Lopez. But you make it sound so good, I'm anxious to go see it.
Well, it's an excellent book. It's a really good read, and it's a true story, but he's a journalist, so maybe that's why the book is so well written. But he's actually a journalist that does work for the L.A. Times, and he there was a series of articles and columns on this, but he, you know, saw this violinist, and he decided to write a story on him. And so through this story is how he actually developed a friendship, and they're friends today. The movie, it was supposed to come out in November. Some people may have thought they heard something about it, but it's been postponed, and it's coming out in April, which gives us time to read the book to get into the actual reading. But the movie stars, and on the front of your book, is the images of Jamie Foxx and Robert Downey Jr. That's who will be featured in the movie, and it opens up in April of 2009. So just look forward to this and follow us along with this reading series. So what I'm going to do, brother, I'm going to take the moment, since I'm the only one to have a book right now, but anyone, and I don't want you to go until you give me information so we can make sure we ship this book to you.
Okay.
But since you are calling in from Memphis, you know, we have some of our Master Griots are down there, Brothers Keepers. Do you know them?
Oh, yes, I know Brother Jamalo and Ed very well.
All right, yeah. There's some of our Master Griot artists as well. Just show most love down there in Memphis. Okay, so I'll start off this reading. This is at chapter 6, at the beginning of chapter 6, and I'm going to read a couple paragraphs. While Nathaniel was at Juilliard, the rare black student in the elite world of conservatory music, I was at junior college in San Francisco Bay. Now, currently, just to let everyone know, he's speaking from the voice of Steve. This is Steve Lopez, the author, the journalist. This is his voice speaking, and he's speaking about Nathaniel. Nathaniel Ayers is the musical genius who's also homeless. So this is how he finds him as he was a homeless person playing the violin. So just for the background. Again, right. While Nathaniel was at Juilliard, the rare black student in the elite world of conservatory music, I was at a junior college in San Francisco Bay Area where white suburban kids who couldn't find crack four-year schools were killing time while avoiding the draft. When a counselor told me San Jose State had a good journalism school, I transferred and graduated 2 years later, beginning a sports writing career that didn't last 2 years. It quickly occurred to me that ball players didn't much care for sports writers and that I didn't much care for ball players. They were coddled and pampered, and worst of all, they were jocks like me and tended to be ignorant of the world. I preferred watching ball games from a distance where it was easier to suffer illusions about the poetry and grandeur of competition, so I gave up the sports beat and became a news reporter at the Oakland Tribune. Every assignment there, murder, mayhem, ribbon cuttings, courtroom drama, meetings, and more mayhem, was an education. That was when I became mesmerized by the work of columnists Mike Rocco and Jimmy Breslin, admiring them from afar. They were watchdog detectives, champions, poets, and gods, free to roam Chicago and New York looking for someone to speak up for or to poke in the eye with a stick. They were suspicious of power and pretense, just like my blue-collar parents had always been, and they delighted in cutting phonies down to size. It was the late Bob Manner, then the editor of Oakland Tribune, who turned me loose to give it a whirl. I struggled with my first columns there, just as I did after moving on to the San Jose Mercury News and Philadelphia Inquirer. It was in Philadelphia in the mid-1980s that I had an epiphany. The challenge isn't to figure out how to write, I realize, but why. Without a mission and a sense of whom you write for, you aren't worth reading. So, as we can hear here, Steve's a really good writer. So, I mean, his flow is easy. It's a real good read. And we're just, this is giving us some background about him. And again, we're setting the time period. At this point in time, he learned enough background to know what was so special, the special thing about this bass player he ran into on the street was that he actually attended Juilliard within his life. So the question is, how did someone, you know, who plays so well attend Juilliard wind up on the street and homeless? And then what we're going to explore is this phenomenon, at least far as here in the Master Griot Project, part we also want to explore, like, you know, the book and the whole community is focusing on the redemptive power of music. But what we like to also explore is the black community, is these issues that fall within the black community. How do we deal with homelessness and our men out being homeless in a unique situation? We're going to find out why he was homeless. So we're going to take a moment. We're going to go to a commercial. We're going to listen to some spoken words. Since we got Memphis on, I guess we'll listen to a Little Brother's Keepers, and then we're going to come back for some more reading.
Right on.
All right.
The evolution starts here and now on DM Live. So trust, when it comes to raw passion and basic common sense, there's no one behind the mic and talk radio stronger than the game. I don't embrace ignorance, I challenge it. And that's why I'm the king of kings of real talk. So to understand the fears of some conservative and urban talk radio, it's to know the monarchy is beholden to no one.
Yeah.
We're back, and this is Master Griot Radio, and this is our For the Love of Reading series with the featured book, The Soloist, by author Stephen Lopez. And we're this 2 weeks of the month, the last of January, we're covering chapters 6 through 10. So we want you to join us in reading the book. We read 10 chapters a month. Every 2 weeks, we cover 5 chapters. It's like a real flowing read. You can win free books. Just call in. The call-in number is 646-716-7994. Again, that call-in number is 646-7994. Call in, get your free copy of the book, and then join us for our first event on February 8th at the Arts Garage, located 153330-35 Ridge Avenue. The event is called, and that's in Philadelphia, and the event is called The Line Drop, What Them Words Will Do. We will be covering, we'll be talking about the book and discussing it, doing a dramatic reading or two, and then we're going to allow everybody to come up and open mic style. And you can just flow with whatever you do. You just have to tell us how it's inspired by the book. What part of the book has inspired your performance? And then we have our featured aspect of the performance, and that is the line drop. As you will find out throughout this book, Steve Lopez has some wonderful lines in his book, and you understand why he made it a movie and why Robert Downey and Jamie Foxx would love it. He does have some wonderful lines. But we're going to drop a line, and all our freestyle artists, whether poet or rapper, however you spit, whoever our freestyle artist, we're going to drop the line, and we want you to spit on that line. Just, you know, freestyle whatever it inspires you to. So that's called the line drop, and that will be hosted by the Master Griot artist. So that's February 8th at the Arts Garage, 153335 Ridge Avenue in City of Philadelphia, and that begins at 5 p.m., and that's a Sunday. So just join us. Admission is only $5, and the first 50 people to arrive will receive a free copy of the book. And there's also great kitcheners. You can come near, get something to eat, read, chill. It's a real nice, eclectic vibe.
So we're gonna wish I was in Philadelphia.
Yeah. We may have to take this around. We had to hold some line drops down there and all.
So
Well, we're the Master Griot artists are also part of the BBS Value Tour, Black Business Space Value Tour, and Brothers Keepers has agreed to be the promoters to bring the tour there to Memphis. So sometime in April, when they lock down the date, we'll be coming to Memphis. So with a concert performance, that's cool.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read on a little bit. In March 2005, not long after I met Nathaniel, the publisher of the Los Angeles Times was fired. John Perner called his departure self-imposed, but I wasn't alone in thinking it looked like one of those deals where you have two options, walk away quietly or be pushed out of a window. His chief crime had been to buck his bosses at the Chicago Tribune, who kept pushing for staff reductions to keep the profit margins in the 20% range and higher. Perner had argued that although newspapers were struggling through a revolution with readers dying off or switching to the internet, only a fool would think you could cut your way to higher profits. But we were at the mercy of Wall Street, and to that breed, all that matters is cash flow. If today's is a penny less than yesterday's, there's panic in pinstripes and a blowback in newsrooms. In the Time office, I joke with media writer Jim Rainey that instead of having tour groups visit the Lobby Museum, they should be brought up to the editorial offices to watch us fossilize at our keyboards. We revel in our collective misery, but I also worry about whether my job will exist as long as I need it to. I've got a 2-year-old from Huggies to high school to get from Huggy to high school. And if the rumors can be believed, the editor who hired me could be the next to go. John Carroll is a Southern gentleman whose integrity and high standards have become liabilities. Though he is only 63, he won't hang around if ordered to keep shredding the staff as he has built. And I'm asking myself if I'll want to continue working for a company that has no place for John Carroll. I probably owe Nathaniel my gratitude for becoming such a distraction that there's less time to grouse and fret. For all the trouble he's given me, Nathaniel is still a good story, and for a chance for me to prove why the work that we do matters. But if I'm going to try to navigate the mental health system, I better find myself a good guide. And just to catch everyone up, the reason why we found that Nathaniel is homeless is because he's schizophrenic. And this is an issue in the black community that is like almost never discussed. But a lot of young black males are schizophrenic. And I would love, on the 22nd of February, we're going to be watching an independent film called Theodore, which features Master Griot artist I Will Write. And we're going to have a discussion. That is about another black male with schizophrenia. We will have a discussion around that. And so we're going to bring in our health practitioners as well as our holistic health practitioners. And we want to talk about some of the reasons why what appears to be a surge of schizophrenia. Is it that it's always been there? Is it just being diagnosed? Or is it a popular misdiagnosis? Is it like an ADD thing? You know, what is this? But a lot of our young people are suffering with schizophrenia. And this was the issue with the homeless person, Nathaniel, and a lot of mental health patients all across the board aren't anxious about taking the drugs. And it's questionable how much the drugs really help them. So therefore, you have a situation like a Nathaniel out in the street. So the author is having a challenge trying to help him. And this is his battle. He wants to help him, but how much will he help him? Him understanding the mental health system, how to help him, and so this is what's going on. We meet at Cantor's Deli, a landmark in Fairfax District of Los Angeles. I know little about Richard Van Horn, an affable cherub with a ball pate, except that he had been an Episcopal priest who segued into the mental health more than 2 decades ago. A Times reporter named Jean Merle told me Van Horn works in Long Beach, where he is president of the National Mental Health Association of Greater Los Angeles. Maybe Merle suggested he can help me figure out what to do about Nathaniel. For our first get-together, Van Horn brings along his wife, Kay, a former congressional aide equally steeped in mental health policy. They both know Nathaniel from my column, and by that I don't mean they know of him. They know him and countless others just like him intimately. The Van Horns are caught up in the drama of his struggle and in my struggle to help him, and they say there's already been a breakthrough. After decades of inadequate services and lack of awareness or compassion, Nathaniel has put a human face on the suffering of thousands and on the work of those like the Van Horns, whose mission is to help them. Nathaniel may indeed be a godsend, but I wasn't fishing for compliments. I confess to the Van Horns that I honestly don't know what else I can do to help Nathaniel. I wonder if I've already erred in leading him to LAMP, where the loose structure doesn't appear to be working very well in his case. Slow down, the Van Horns tell me. I couldn't have done much better than LAMP. It's like the Village in Long Beach, where Van Horns make their office. The Village was one of those models for the Mental Health Services Act approved by California voters in late 2004, which puts a small tax on the wealthiest Californians. Van Horn say there's now a chance to pay penance for the sin of shutting the state mental hospitals decades earlier and never following up on the promise of community programs to pick up the slack. Skid Row was no accident, he says. We created it. But there will now be more money for, among other things, the very thing I'm attempting to do with Nathaniel, gradually luring people in off the streets and housing them in places with all the necessary supportive services like counseling and job training. Now, to that end, I would like to say, I know that happened here in Philadelphia, that a few years ago, our hospital is called Bob Erie, our mental health hospital, and they just shut it down with no place for these mental health patients to go. And and then we had like all of these various problems occurring throughout the neighborhoods because of it. So I'm curious, did that anything like that you ever remember happening in Memphis? Like a displacement of mental health patients, like a major mental health facility closing?
Not that I'm aware of. Not saying that it didn't happen, but if it did, it must have happened before I was born. I'm not aware of it.
Okay.
There hasn't been any papers or anything like that. I know we do have mental health clinics all over Memphis.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if anyone just closed down. I can look that up for you, though. I have that answer for you.
All right. Well, what about your homeless situation? Is there a problem with homelessness in Memphis?
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a problem with homelessness everywhere. But fortunately, we got people like Brother Keeper and Brother Power and his wife that every other Sunday go out and feed the homeless. And, you know, we got people we donate jackets and other warming gear, other things like that, clothes and stuff to the homeless. We're trying to get more done for our people, but you know we need the support of Memphis, and you know that's what we're trying to get. But yeah, there's plenty of homeless all over Memphis, and you mean you can just about wherever you go, you're gonna see them walking the streets.
Now, what do you feel is the contributing factor to that? You know, what is like some of the contributing factor?
Well, we got a lot of foreclosures on houses. A lot of people who weren't paying taxes or whatever, and the government just saying I want your land. And you got a lot of foreclosures, a lot of jobs closing down. They laid off a couple thousand people just last year. There's a number of factors, and we're probably going to have even more homeless people walking the street this year as jobs keep closing, and houses keep foreclosing, and then the sad part about it is all these houses foreclosing and going under, and people are just buying up these houses and you know doing nothing with it, especially for the people who got kicked out of it. You know what I'm saying? So
That's part of the gentrification move. So they're coming into one of the reasons why we're working with the Arts Garage is they happen to be, he owns like 3 or 4 properties plus the land around it in an area that is, regentrification in Philadelphia, which means it's like one of them real bad, was being one of the real bad neighborhoods with dilapidated housing. And people lost their houses or whatnot. But what they do, they wait for whole blocks to go and get everybody out. That's why it just seems like they sit there and they just dilapidate. And the more they dilapidate, the cheaper they are for those developers to come in. But they never go open on the market, so just a regular person can't buy them. And then they buy it up. They demolish the whole thing and they rebuild condominiums, strip malls and things and all like that. So, believe me, that's probably the plans within the next 5 or 10 years if they're just leaving them. They're buying them because they're waiting for the more it deteriorates, the cheaper it gets, the more you can buy stuff cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come in. They don't leave it open, though. It's not like you can just go get a property because you never know when they go on sale. But they did the same thing, you know, Temple built up. We got a lot of colleges in Philly. Down when the riots happened on Diamond Street, 22nd and Diamond, big no. I mean, these be the roughest areas, okay? These are the roughest areas where you be afraid as a black person to walk them streets, okay? Now you got, you know, white college students all up there. But
I started noticing a change because I have to go down there to go to my church. I live like we have a park that kind of divides, and I'm on the west side, but that's in North Philly. So we go through this park. We go down Diamond Street to get to my church. This is a route we've been traveling almost 30 years. And so all of a sudden, I just started noticing graffiti. But the graffiti only seemed to be on abandoned houses. Then it occurred to me, how nice of those graffiti artists to only graffiti on abandoned houses. Aren't they some nice people? I'm like, come on, that don't make sense. Then you heard a accounting where a white man in a suit was found graffitiing on a building. They go and that's marked property. They tag them. So that when the developers come down, again, you see people who you would never see roaming in these areas driving down the street.
Right.
But and it's all tagged property. So a lot of that is part of the regentrification. But I'm still curious as to how many people are out there that are homeless due to mental health issues that are keeping them from being able to hold on to their job or having them abandon their families, whether diagnosed or undiagnosed or diet-related or, you know, because I found out, you know, ADD, a lot of that is due to poor diet, too much television watching, and a lack of omega-3s. Of course, they will tell you that they give you the Ritalin instead.
Well, we do know ADD is also because a lot of mothers are not taking care of their bodies while the child is in the womb, and other diseases and illnesses are coming about that way, and we have a lot of. And nowadays, we have a lot of mothers who are not breastfeeding and building their child's natural immune system. Instead, they want to use Similac and all this processed baby food and things like that and of that nature, which we know is not healthy for a child. It's not natural, you know, especially for a growing embryo or a baby. And so, you know, there's always a number of things, especially if, like mental illness. We have a lot of mothers out this generation, a lot of mothers and a lot of fathers out here who, you know, are just not in healthy shape and having these babies, you know, while doing drugs or whatever it is that they do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, that's definitely, you know, that's definitely an issue. So there are a lot, and there, you know, there are several folds and all, how willing we are to, not some, especially in the black community, a lot of times we're not open in talking about mental health issues. So it's about, you know, that's one thing we hope to encourage, speaking about mental health. And then actually looking at some causes and some alternatives, because even today, most mental health people are not going to say that, oh, you know, if you take this, you'll be all right.
Right.
You know, it's all a gamble. They're still not sure. They haven't found necessarily the right medicines or whatnot. So it's still a struggle. And so it's like, how do we best manage, recognize, and keep our families whole? So this is The Soloist. So you can get the book, The Soloist, by, you can purchase it right here. If you're here at the radio show, you can go to Amazon.com. All your bookstores carry it. Just request it. It's The Soloist. Or if you want a free copy, just call in now to 646-716-7994. Again, the number is 646-716-7994. And what we will do, if it will help, we can just send you a few books down there to Memphis, and maybe people can give a donation for the book. How about that?
Well, I can talk to some people. Yeah, that'd be fine. You know, we have a lot of booksellers out here. Are you aware of Sister Tony of Java Juice and Jazz? I mean, she has a nice collection of books, and I'm sure she can get them out there. You know.
Yeah, or yeah, just, you know, maybe if you just give people, if they give you a donation, you give them a book, and then that donation can be used in your outreach.
Right. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Of course.
Yeah, and then that way you can thank people for their donation by giving them a free copy of the book. So what we're going to do is work to get you 25 books. Okay?
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. That sounds great.
Yeah. We'll work to get you your 25 books. So, So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take your number, and then we can call you back and get your information, and we're going to ship you 25 books. And you can use those again. So people in Memphis, what your name again, brother?
Brother Jati.
Brother Jati. You know, he'll have books, so you'll be able to reach out. Just give a donation. You'll get the book for a simple donation, and you'll know that money will be used for community outreach programs, feeding and clothing the homeless. Okay? So that's a really good thing. So So what I'm going to read now is I'm going to read some lines. I like to take notes when I read. Like I like to do it in school, right? Like when I now get this age, now I take notes on everything. I got so many notebooks. But I'm like, who wanted to do that in school, right?
All right.
Oh, boy. Man, Jesus. Okay, I just lost my page. But I'm going to read. These are just notes that I took on some of these lines. So these are... I found some really good lines in the book. Nathaniel delivers this and other unbroken streams of consciousness with the enthusiasm and charm of a smooth conversationalist. Emphasis here, a smile or a hand gesture there, and no earthly awareness of the scrambled nature of the offering. He gives a shrug, then touches the violin under his chin, blocks out the roar of the traffic, and leaves the world known. And leaves the known world. Okay, I'll repeat that. He gives a shrug, then tucks the violin under his chin, blocks out the roar of the traffic, and leaves the known world. Next line. Eyes closed, head tilted to the heaven. He's gone. Next. For the privilege of vicariously sampling other worlds, dropping in with my passport, my notebook, and my curiosity. Okay. Okay, I'm golden now. An angel in khakis and Rockports. Next, trying to keep up with the running soliloquy. If the worst came to the worst, you didn't need to have any form at all. You didn't need to put what you had to say into a poem, an essay, a story, or novel. All you had to do was say it. The cello represents a meditative voice, tragically alone. And that was Ernest Bloch. Music is an anchor, a connection to great artists, to history, to himself. Okay. Next line is, but in music there is balance and permanence. Music is a meditation, a reverie, a respite from madness. It's his way to be alone without fear. Last line. Nathaniel's soothing music is a nice touch at so busy an asylum. It is appropriately schizophrenic, too lovely at times and lost at others. And these are just some wonderful lines from the author's Steve Lopez from the book The Soloist. Check it out anytime. And this is part of the Love for Reading series, sponsored by the Master Griot Project, the Arts Garage, Black Women Arts Festival, Young Friends Society, as part of the Philadelphia Free Library's One Book, One Philadelphia. Now, you can join us again on Wednesday, January 28th, and opportunity to win some more books. So you can join us here on Master Griot Radio. We're going to do this one more time on January 28th. And we thank everyone, and we thank you, Brother Jati, for joining us here on the radio. And we are going to close out on, I got to figure out what to close out on. What do you feel like hearing? Brother Jati? Oh, wow, I have him muted. Sorry. Brother Jati? I'm sorry. What do you feel like hearing? What kind do you feel? We have jazz, we have hip-hop, R&B, we have Righteous
anything,
Indignation. Go ahead.
Something inspirational, you know, anything from, you know, you got anything inspirational, something to make me feel, you know, just in the mood to do anything.
Okay. Well, I think what'll be real inspirational is We Rising by Chris Cream and Shyster.
Right.
Youngest son, check it. Dear Willie, tell them we are rising up from the ashes of oppression, brushing the dust of poverty off the wings of this phoenix. Glory awaits my arrival. Briefly contemplate my history, the misery of my people's plight, the lynchings on the late night, injustice, miseducation, racist views, sensationalized news about black-on-black crime, crime-riddled neighborhoods, crying babies, dying babies. What's wrong with this scenario? Here we go, millions more marching, rising, reaching for new beginnings. It's within me. Take my hand, let me pull you up this ladder, the stairway to heaven. Please believe me, we gon' make it. Back from all the bullshit, the bullwhip that once beat the back of blacks now gives me strength. And this is my declaration, I am rising. And the last thing I'll let you do is break me. Humbled by circumstance, meek has been the position of my placement. I hail from the basement of America, and somehow this has come home to hell. Help me change this. Rise with me, build with me. Holler if you're feeling me. Tell them we are rising, and there's nothing they can do about it. My mother's name is Nature, and she deems it necessary for us to come back home and kneel at the throne of our father. His nickname is God. My brothers call him Allah, Elohim, Yahweh, Jehoshaphat, Hosanna, Jehovah God, the Alpha and Omega. He walked the earth in a shell called Jesus. He placed Muhammad on the mountain and told the wind to come down and put the surge in the waters of Zimzim. But somehow things are going a little too far before Allah and Dunbar already told y'all we're coming. And now we're off and running, and I'm bringing a whole gang of positive people with me. Ghetto child, you're beautiful. Never think less or accept less or give anything less than your best at everything. Rise above life's pitfalls, all of y'all. Keep going, keep moving, keep striving, keep rising. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. You've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, run amok, let them stray. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Betty, son, we rising. What you thought we was gonna stay asleep? The force of the nature have awakened the spiritual beast. The lion and Judah roars, the falcon soars. We taking food for thought out the panther's jaws. For 400 years we've been integrated to a burning house. Now the Oval Office on fire. The poetic messengers throwing gas on the flames. Told y'all we gonna change the game. We rising. The church is recommitted to doing God's work. Open the doors to the jail, release the prisoner wars to the streets. Evacuate the class, the children are marching and dying. Hear that? Conscience shots are firing. No more lying, no more dying. You imperialistic devil got fat when my people starve. We want in. This is more than poetic music. I got a revolutionary heart, ain't scared to use it. By any means necessary, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But please, God, use it as a sword to cut the head off the devil and his angels. King, it's time to atone. Take back your soul, your children at stake. Queen, clean up your home. From slave plantation, segregation of crack crippled nation, and black on black common sense dumb. And through all this, how can Jesus Christ still not come? But the streets is beating the drum from his Betty's son. And I never lost a fight. My life, if I did, it was fixed. But they got to come through sight if you want to get the grip. We true life lyricists. See, this ain't hip-hop, R&B, or poetry. This is word art, paint pictures from God. And it's easy as breathing when I'm blowing it. Lest we just met, you already know where this is going. Say the children, say the streets. Black kids, follow me, drop signs. God in me, black light, poetry, black love. You know it's me. We got wings, we flying, we go, we shining. Today, tomorrow, be rising.
Did that inspire you?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Thank you for that.
All right. Well, as always, on Master Griot Radio, we speak for you. Peace and love. And we're out.
All right.